Mike Cal, the show. It's 102.5 The Bone. This band will be out there tonight.
Yeah, it's fun.
The Summerland Tour is happening out in Madeira Beach tonight. You can go to summerlandtour.net and get all the information. It is Lit, Sponge, Sugar Ray, and Everclear. And there's Art. So now, Art, how are you doing, buddy? Hey, I'm playing Sponge right now. How great was this song, man? I love this. The Sponge is great.
Yeah.
Guys, man, they're great. They're so great live.
Where, are they from Chicago?
No, they're Detroit rock.
Detroit. Okay, I didn't know. I knew it was somewhere. Yeah. Well, look, I like that you guys are doing this together. I have to tell you a funny story. I'm an Everclear fan. I like the band, but not so much a Matchbox 20 fan. And then you guys opened up for Matchbox 20 when you played here one time. You do what you got to do.
Matchbox money.
It was crazy money.
New crowd.
45. Yeah, no, we got a lot of fans from it. But it also kind of hurt us in the alternative radio world because they were not an alternative band anymore. They were pretty firmly, you know, at the time called the Modern AC Band slash pop band. And that hurt us with some stations that we did that tour.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
My wife and I have a funny picture that we keep. We came to the show to see Everclear. She loves you guys. And then we went backstage, and you guys were exiting the stage to go to your locker rooms or whatever, take showers.
Locker rooms.
Whatever. It was in the arena. That's why. And they grabbed me in the interim there, and they said, "Hey, this is Rob Thomas. Rob, this is Mike from the radio station." And my wife and I took the picture with Rob Thomas. Didn't stay for the show. Didn't like Matchbox 20. And the record people send it to us in a frame because we got married a couple of weeks after that, and we still have that picture because it's such a joke. Everybody's like, "Oh, you met Rob Thomas?" And we go, "We didn't even like Rob." We have a whole story that goes with it.
Did we get a chance to meet? Did we take a picture?
We did not. You guys had just literally come off stage all sweaty, wanting to go back to the, and you beeline right back to the road.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that is, like, we didn't, like, pop up our set for that show. We were coming out blazing every show.
Yeah.
And it was really funny because every night we'd come out and to play, and the first 50 rows were, we couldn't sell those. Those were all for their fan club. Right?
Oh.
And it was all like their secretaries, looking at us. And man, my job was to win those people over. Most shows, that was the first big tour I had a wireless guitar.
Uh-huh.
And me and my bass player would just take off and run around during the song Heroin go around the arena. And, you know, it was really funny. After the first couple of shows, there was a Rolling Stone review of the tour. It was it was Matchbox 20, Everclear, and then Lifehouse on their first tour,
on
their first single. And if you read the Rolling Stone review, it talks about Lifehouse like about this much.
Right.
You know? It talks about Everclear about this much, just raving about us. And then there's like three lines about Matchbox 20.
And Matchbox 20 closed the show.
Yeah, that were not really good.
Yeah. You tight with McGrath and the Sugar Ray guys? Because you guys have been doing this for a while, huh?
Well, yeah, no. I mean, I started the tour 5 years ago. And when I first started, I called a bunch of friends of mine. And I've known Mark for 25 years.
Yeah.
And we tend to have breakfast like 5-6 times a year. He lives in the Valley in L.A., and I live in Pasadena, so we're about 15 minutes away from each other.
Do you guys sit there and at breakfast and go, "Look at us. Look at where we were. We were kids, and now we're just two guys who actually made it and made some money and had a good time, still able to do it." It's the adult versions of your young selves.
Well, we do that to a very small extent. Most of the time, we're just like, "Man, I woke up so sore this morning." We're like middle-aged guys. I got to eat this because I got this.
I'm taking chondroitin now.
Right? You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
It just is what it is.
Yeah.
And, but we sit there and, like, hot girls will walk by us and we'll be like, Yeah, man.
Remember?
Yeah, and then we'll go, so what are you having for lunch? Man, that looks really what is that? Is that a marinade? What is that? Is that braised?
You married now or single?
I've been married 4 times.
Yeah, I know. That's why I don't know where you're married now.
I'm married.
Yeah.
I got an 8-year-old with my wife. Yeah, this one's actually, I've been with her for 12 years, and it's the best thing I've ever had.
So. It's tough, though, because you still have a potential not only to get girls, but young girls. It's hard to turn down.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Where do I go? Is there a website?
Come on. Once you do that fancy white hair up and start singing songs.
I don't pay attention to it.
His father was mean to him.
His dad was mean to him. No. You know, every now and then. Yeah, I quit. No, usually 20-year-olds are like, God, do you know my dad?
Yeah. That hurts a little bit. Like, I love when hot girls come up to me and they go, oh my God, can we take a picture? And I go, yeah. Like, my mom loves your show. And I'm like, all right, I can deal with it. I mean, I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
Well, that's the deal. Like, kids, millennials.
Yeah.
Can I talk about millennials for a minute? You have kids?
I do. They're young. They're, I have a 3-year-old and a 9-year-old.
So you started a little bit later?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got both. I've
right.
got a 24-year-old and I've got an 8-year-old. And, when I meet millennials, it's just like, it's really funny how many millennials come to our shows. Like a really good percent, I'd say 15-20%.
Yeah.
Because they were indoctrinated by their parents, you know.
I mean, but that's how you learn about music, what your parents listen to. So, and you know, when you get older, you remember what the cool stuff was and what the crap was. So that makes sense.
My eldest daughter's favorite bands, Led Zeppelin.
Of course.
Cheap Trick, Aerosmith.
Yeah,
I wonder why.
Yeah.
Sex Pistols.
Are you a much better father than your father was to all of your kids?
Well, the bar wasn't very high.
I don't.
You
really
may have heard.
Yeah, I know. I only know really from the song. I thought. Let me just start with that first of all. I have a great relationship with my dad now, but it didn't so much when I was a kid. Not near nothing. Just didn't get to see him a whole lot, and I thought that song. It captured a lot of what that's like when you're a kid. Not to be too emotional about it, but it leaves you with that weird feeling that in which you actually use those words in the song. And with the one line when you said to be a scared white kid in a black neighborhood, and I sort of related to that a little bit, and have no male father figure. But then my ultimate goal out of that whole situation is I have a great relationship with my dad, and I'm super dad now.
Well, so am I. I try to be.
You
know, it depends on which kid you talk to on which day.
Right.
You
know? Right.
But I'm there. I was like accused of being too strict by my eldest daughter. And you know what? I can live with that.
Yeah, that's not such a bad thing.
I can live with that. You know, everybody thinks, a guy in a band, he's going to be a cool, friendly. I'm not here to make friends.
Right.
I'm especially your dad.
When it comes to your daughter, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, or son, if I had a son. I'm just like, I think one of the problems we have right now with a lot of kids is that too many parents tried to be friends with their kids. You're not friends.
Mm-mm.
Your job is to teach them and to love them and hopefully have a friendly relationship when they're adults, but not now.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something I've always felt strongly about. And, you know, I made mistakes. Every kid does. I think our job as parents is to give our kids less damage than our parents gave us.
Sure. You know?
And so somewhere down the line, we're going to make some pretty great kids.
Right.
You know, that's the idea. My dad just passed away about 3-4 months ago. Actually, longer than that, January. And he died about 2 days before David Bowie.
Oh, really?
Wow.
And I just made the comment to somebody that even though I was sad that my father passed away, it wasn't a tragedy, man. He was 94 years old.
Oh, okay.
That's a long life.
Did you reconcile with him before he died?
Never really reconciled. I gave him a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, I could tell you stories about it. It's just like I gave him a chance to reconcile, and he just...
Was he here?
He was in Florida. See, this is the thing. In the 60s, he moved to Florida because there was 2 states in the United States where you couldn't extradite for child support. So he moved to Florida.
That's scummy.
And then Florida changed their laws in the 70s because the federal government withheld highway money from
right.
him. So they changed their laws that you could extradite. So he moved to the other state. He moved to Texas. Yeah. And I lived with them for about 6 months. When I was like 15 going on 16.
Right.
And, you know, it's like I never really knew my dad. My mother was my dad. My mother
sure.
loved me fiercely, and she was crazy, and she, you know, these are people who grew up in the Depression. So I mean, I'm 54. I'm the baby of the family.
Right. Do you have the conversation with him? Do you say, hey, you were nowhere to be found?
To.
Yeah. And what's his reaction? But he's significantly older.
That never happened.
Denial.
And so here, let me give you a quick story.
By the way, this is Art from Everclear is here, and we're talking about, I only know a little bit about his life from the song Father of Mine, which I think is a great song. So go ahead. I'm sorry. You tried
I was just going to say, 2004, I found out I went through a divorce all in 1 week. Went through a divorce, found out that my wife at the time was having an affair with a guy I thought was a friend.
Oh, boy.
Realized I was going to have to go through a bankruptcy. Got dropped off a major label. But the most important thing is my mom came down with terminal cancer.
Jeez.
And a guy that was a therapist and a mentor and kind of like a father to me was diagnosed with a terminal brain tumor.
Wow. The bad luck.
All in one. No, it was just a bad year. It was a lot of karma coming back.
Yeah.
And that was cool. You know, in hindsight, it was cool. It was what it was. So my mom got sick, and my dad had heard about it, and my dad kept bugging me through my sisters that he wanted to talk to me. And finally, I'm like, Dad, what do you want?
And he's
like, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to get over this stuff. And I go, you know, we talked about it, and I go, I'll tell you what. Here's one thing you can do. Call my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Be a mensch. Be a man. Listen to her. She's not scary. She's an old woman who's dying.
Right.
Be a man. Listen to her. Let her say what she has to say. And if you can do that,
then we can get through it.
Yeah, we can. We can go to another place. We can start. I'll bring my daughter out. She's never met either of my daughters.
Right.
On purpose. And I just like I. Why would I introduce? Why would you introduce? Your
to
children,
a guy who is no father to you.
Well, just some creepy old man. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Some guy would abandon his kids. Can you imagine abandoning your children?
No, I was going to ask you that.
That's
I
wrote that song. It was just, I was watching my daughter sleep. I'm like, how can you walk away from this?
Can you, that's what I, it's so, it's exactly like what my next question was. Once you become a father, can you ever imagine how any father, not just your own, but how any father doesn't want to be with their kids as much as they can?
No,
yeah.
I can't. Look, my mom even told me, she goes, son, people grow away from each other, relationships end, marriages end, that's fine. What a man does, and she never really like talked bad about my dad. She would do it passive aggressively.
Right.
She goes, son, what a real man does is he moves down the street and raises his children.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a real man does.
Yeah.
And that's something that's stuck with me my whole life. I believe that firmly.
Yeah.
And I've been through divorces, and it's rough going through a divorce with a
kid. Why do you keep getting married? After two, I'd be like, all right, I can't get this right.
My wife's are pretty hot.
Yeah, but you're
awesome.
That's a good answer.
But you also
same.
I have heard, I have met some girls in this area who claim to have made sweet love to you at times who are also pretty hot. So it's not like you can't keep getting hot chicks.
Lies.
Yeah. I had one dude who was a really good friend.
Dude.
No. He was,
wait a second.
He was her roommate, and he goes, the dude from Everclear was here this morning. This was in the 90s.
Yeah, but it wasn't necessarily me.
No, just so that's, you know, true. That's true. I believe that.
You know, back many years ago after our tour, my lawyers come and go, you have a paternity suit against you. I'm like, holy.
Yeah.
Now, I could have had
it,
because
range.
Yeah, it was in the range. It was in the ballpark. And I'm like, where from? I'm trying to picture who this was.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty careful, so that was kind of weird. And they're like, Mississippi. I'm like, we didn't play in Mississippi.
Oh,
I was in Mississippi, and we didn't even go through Mississippi. Yeah, I flew from like Florida to, I don't know, Texas.
Right.
But the crew bus went through Mississippi. And when the girl started looking at pictures, she picked out my drum tech. That's the singer of Everclear.
That's Stu. He carries my drumsticks.
He also had blonde hair.
No, he didn't.
No.
He had black hair.
There's no Google back then.
Yeah. She was just not the smartest tool,
sure,
tool in the shed.
The girl here would have been in the caliber. She was a Hooters waitress. She was on billboards. Like, she would have been like nobody would be surprised that a rock guy would bang her. So
well, you know, it could have been me.
Right. I hope it was.
It could have been my bass player.
Yeah. boy, how? What? I remember when. I can't remember. Santa Monica first came out, right. And I was at a top 40 station, and it was on like one of those FMQB compilation CDs where they would just put out the top. And at that point, you didn't really have a genre of music at the time. There wasn't really like a hard alternative. There were all these groups that kind of were breaking into top 40, but were really more alternative. You know what I'm saying? Like you were crossing over for the good.
Yeah, we came from the alternative world, but that song, Father of Mine, Wonderful, all those songs translated to pop radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, all those songs went over to pop.
Oh, girls love Wonderful.
Various degrees. Yeah, Wonderful was the highest. That was in the, got to top five.
Did McGrath, I know you probably can't answer for him, but we always joke about this, how they came out and they were just rocking and playing there. People don't know the first Sugar Ray stuff. And then
you mean the first album?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We liked it. I remember when it came out, me and Moose, we liked it. And then they get the one song where, you know, they're singing about the four-post bed and there's acoustic guitar or whatever it is.
But you got to go before that. The first album was a rock album.
Yeah.
And then...
Mean Machine and all those songs.
Yeah, Mean Machine. And then the second album came out with Fly on it.
Oh, Fly. That was Fly, yeah.
And that's what... Like, you know, that's
so do you sit down as a band that's not rich yet and go, we need to write more songs like Fly. Fly's making us rich.
You know, I mean, I've never written songs to do anything. I just write songs how they come out. I've written pop songs, I've written super rock punk songs, and I still do. Our last album a year ago was just a heavy rock record because that's what I wanted to make.
Yeah, that's good for you or bad for you that there's really. Like I think would be good because we talked to Tommy Lee one time, and Tommy's like, we're not going to do any more albums. If we decide to make a song one day, we're just going to do it and put it on iTunes or put it somewhere where people can just go get it. Is that better for you? I mean, the money doesn't seem to be there.
The money doesn't really matter. I mean, check this out. We put out a record last year, and it got the best reviews of our career ever. And it first 2 weeks, it streamed on the Spotify, Pandora, Apple, all those things. It streamed 2.1 million albums, not songs.
Right.
Albums.
That's great.
Okay. You know how much it sold?
No.
8,500 records.
Yeah, see, you don't. But no, because
and you
why?
Know how much I got paid for
a nickel for each?
No, not even close.
Oh, really?
Like 0.005. I made $687.
Damn.
But you then go on tour.
No, for two million records.
Yeah, that's terrible. But who made the money?
It's a you tell me.
Yeah, I know, but...
It's a non-sustainable model. That's why that whole thing, the whole streaming thing has to change. People think that they're paying for the music by paying $10 a month. It's not doing it. Because the overwhelming... That money goes to whoever the server is. A larger part of it goes to labels, but not that much, really.
Yeah.
And then the artist gets nothing. It's typical. It's how the industry always is. It's how it was back in the day when we signed. Only they would give you an advance of money, and then they'd own your music forever.
Forever. Yeah.
Yeah, and it'll change, but until it changes, they're going to make a lot of money.
Like I feel bad, but I do feel like I'm contributing. I'm paying my $15 a month.
Yeah.
To be able to listen to it. It's better than stealing it.
Yeah, but you're not. You're not stealing
it. Legally, right. I'm not stealing it, but for you guys, you're getting robbed.
You're not stealing it. It's just, it's not set up in a way that's equitable, that's consistently sustainable.
Yeah.
All right? You know, I mean, it's like if I bake a loaf of bread, you know, and you know, I make so much money because I buy this wholesale and everything and I sell it to someone who sells it to you. Everybody makes some money. You get some bread at a price that you feel is the right price that has value, right? That's great. That's not the way it's working with music.
Yeah.
It's just not making sense. So the guy who's growing the wheat and the guy who's making the bread is not getting paid.
Right. I gotcha. Tonight, though, is the opportunity for people to come out and see you, and hopefully that's where you guys can make some money with
touring.
That's
where we make money. Yeah. We make money from that and touring and the VIPs and stuff like that. Look, I'm not complaining. I make a decent living. I make a really good living.
Doing something you love doing.
So does Mark. Doing something we love. No one on this tour, I put this tour together, no one on this tour is getting rich.
Right.
But we're all working. And we're all doing something we love, and we're all doing something that makes people happy.
Last night, people were sending me, Snapchatting me videos and pictures from Orlando. People said you all sounded great. All the band sounded great. The Summerland Tour will be at ROC Park in Madeira Beach tonight, starting early at 6 o'clock. You can go to summerlandtour.net to get all the information. It is Everclear. It is Sugar Ray, Sponge, and Lit all playing together. Great group of guys. Now, you guys are going to perform down there. What are you going to do? Down in the theater. We're going to walk down to the performance
theater.
We're
going to play a couple songs.
All right, good.
Talk a lot of smack to people.
All right, good. We're going to go smack some people with Art. Thank you for getting up early and coming in here.
Thanks for having me.
We appreciate it. What's the best option for you? People want to get information, they go to for Everclear. Like, what's your preferred method of them hearing your music? Go to your website?
Well, you can go to everclearmusic.com or everclearmusic.com, excuse me, everclearmusic.com. Or on social media, you could go to at Everclear Band for Twitter, or you can come to mine, at R. Alex Sakis for Twitter, and we both got our own Facebooks under the same name.
Do you know how many people would be struggling to try and spell the last name? It's hard, Alex.
You can Google Alex. It. Just say Everclear Band, and go, oh, yeah, that's how you spell that.
Thank God computers are smart. You just got to get Alex in, and it'll fill in the rest of it.
Yeah, but it's
kind of
dumbing us all down.
It is true. Yeah.
Don't you think?
I'm fine. I'm 44 years old. I could be dumb for the rest of my life at this point now. Yeah.
You're married. You got kids.
Right. Yeah. I don't need to get smarter, you know.
Yeah.
Or skinnier. You know how it goes. All right, listen to me. Art and Everclear are going to perform in the performance studio down there when we come back. It is 9:02, so let us take a break. We'll play some commercials, and then we'll be back live in the studio next.
The Mike Calta Show on 102.5. The Bone.
Look at it, as an adult male, just to be able to dress the way you want every day.
Yeah.
Look at that guy. He's wearing a hat. It's 104 degrees outside. How was Orlando last night? Was it great for everyone?
I don't know. We were in Madeira Beach last night. Where were you?
No, you're here. That's tonight.
No, we played Orlando the night before last.
Oh, okay. Sorry, all days run together.
Good morning, everybody. How you doing?
Yeah. And then they put on your itinerary, and then you get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and do radio, and you're like, Jesus Christ. But we appreciate you doing that. I do.
It's fine.
Coming in here.
I mean, this is what we do for a living. This is an awesome job. I think we're going to apologize. You know, don't apologize for it. It's awesome.
All right, take it back then. I'm going to let you guys play. What are you going to do first?
We're going to do a song that's off our... what was our third record, So Much for the Afterglow, which was our biggest selling record, and it's going to be the 20th anniversary next year, and we're going to tour and play the whole record.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nice.
So that's next year.
You're going to be live on 102.5 The Bone. We'll be live on Bone TV so people can see you all around the world. I'll shut up. Ladies and gentlemen, see them tonight in Madeira Beach. Here's Everclear.
Thanks. It's called I Will Buy You a New Life. Here's the money that I owe you, yeah, so you could pay the bills. I give you some more when I get paid again. I hate those people who love to tell you money is the root of all the kills. They have never been poor, never known the joy of a welfare Christmas. No, we will never look back. Yeah. Wake up crying, and you don't know why. Yeah, you get up and you go down inside my baby's room. Oh, yeah, guess I'm doing okay. Moved in with the strangest guy. Can you believe he actually thinks that I'm really alive? I will buy you a garden where your flowers can bloom. I will buy you a new car
perfect shiny new. I will buy you that big house way up in the West Hills. I will buy you a new life. Oh yes I will. About that other guy, handsome man with athletic thighs. I know all about the time before that obsessive little rich boy. They might make you think you're happy, maybe for a minute or two. They can't make you laugh, no, they can't make you feel the way that I do. I will buy you a garden where your flowers can bloom. I will buy you a new car, perfect, shiny, new. I will buy you that big house way up in the West Hills. I will buy you a new life. I will buy you a garden where your flowers can bloom. I will buy you a new car, perfect, shiny, and new. I will buy you that big house way up in the West Hills. I will buy you.
Boy, you guys still got it, huh? You sound great,
mother.
you guys sound great. But that boy, that was the anthem for every young poor couple together, right? Oh, think about it when you're young and you're dating and your car's a piece of crap and you're driving around. You're like, don't worry, baby. It won't always be like, but it's probably always going to be crappy. Let's be honest. Not everybody's going to be lead singer of a band or looking like Lone Ranger's best friend over there with the bass guitar.
I grew up in a housing project, so that song for me, and it's funny that there's a real story behind that, whereas like about 2 years before everything really started happening, I was living with my then girlfriend and our baby, and in a really bad part of Portland.
Yeah.
And we used to get in my beat up Nissan Sentra. It was totally illegal. Someone had punched the lock out of this broken window, you know, had a taped up red thing over where the light's supposed to be, you know, and we put our kid in the back and get her a Happy Meal, which is super trashy.
Yeah, but it keeps them occupied.
Put her in the back seat, and then we drive up to the nice part of town, which was the West Hills of Portland. And we'd like look at all the houses. We'd park there, and I'm sure people were freaking out and call cops.
And, you know, we would look at houses and go, hey, I want that house, but I like that driveway. And, but, you know, we just fantasized about it.
Yeah. You know.
It was cheap. It was cheaper than going to the movies.
Right. And you set goals. There you go. I mean, what you want.
A year and a half later, we were living up there.
Yeah.
The American dream, right?
Did you fix your taillight? Probably not.
What's that?
I said, did you fix your taillight after that? Probably not.
I gave that car to a roadie. I fixed it and gave it to a roadie.
Isn't that the greatest feeling in the world? When you give stuff away? That'd probably help.
That too.
Yeah. When you finally realize that you not only are you cool, but you could do cool things for other people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But that only comes, you get a better feeling when you grow up poor and you've had nothing. That's where it all comes from.
I guess so. I mean, I know people who grew up with money and they're still very generous and they still, like, they respect where it came from. I think it depends on how you were raised.
Yeah.
I know people who grew up poor still feel like the world owes them a living.
Sure.
And there's people who grew up rich that really give back every day.
Yeah. I think it's great that you have such a good attitude. This is Everclear. They're going to be with Sponge, who's great, with Sugar Ray. With Lit, they're going to be at the ROC Park in Madeira Beach tonight. If you wouldn't mind, we're going to do another song here live on the air, and then we'll run back there and close up the show, and you guys continue here in the performance studio. But thank you, all of you guys, for getting up early and coming in.
Thanks.
I'll turn
for
it back
us.
Over again. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight in Madeira Beach, this is Everclear. Here we go.
Okay, well, I you know, we're doing two songs, so you guys have any requests? Done.
Wow, that was weird.
I planted her. This is a song that it bought us a couple of houses, you know, and a couple of divorces, too. Call it what it is. I am still living with your ghost. Lonely and dreamy of the West Coast. I don't wanna be your downtime. I don't wanna be your stupid game. With my big black boots and an old suitcase, do believe I find myself a new place. I don't wanna be the bad guy. I don't wanna do your sleep walk dance anymore. I just wanna see some palm trees. Go away, try to shake your disease. Yes, we could live beside the ocean, leave the fire behind, swim out past the breakers, watch the world die. We could live beside the ocean, leave the fire behind, swim out past the breakers, watch the world die. Yeah, watch the world die. I am still dreaming of your face. Oh, hungry and hollow for all the things you took away. I don't wanna be your good time. I don't wanna be your far back crush anymore. Walk right out into a brand new day. Insane and rising in my own weird way. I don't wanna be the bad guy. I don't wanna do your sleep walk dance anymore. I just wanna see some sunshine. I just wanna find some place to be alone. Yes, we could live beside the ocean, leave the fire behind, swim out past the breakers, watch the world die. We could live beside the ocean, leave the fire behind, swim out past the breakers, watch the world die.
the ocean. Yeah, leave the fire behind. Swim out past the breakers. Watch the world die. We could live beside the ocean. Leave the fire behind. Swim out past the breakers. Watch the world die. Yeah, watch the world die. Yeah, watch the world die. Oh, yeah. Come on, watch the world die. Yeah, watch the world die.
Everclear.
We almost ended at the same time.
Can I just tell you that that's what I know why that song and your songs lead to divorces, because I might fall in love with you a little bit while you were singing that song. Think about it. How many times you've used that power to pick up a guitar and just look at a girl and sing a sweet song to her, and I'm like, use that power for evil, my man. Good job. Oh, in the past, yeah. That's very good, man. You've been thinking
a lot about this, haven't you?
Yeah. I really have. I have a lot of musician envy, and listen. There's no better way to get a girl than to sing a song to her if you're good at it, right, girls? Right?
Yeah, but there's
right? Four girls.
That's a two-edged sword. Don't ever date a songwriter.
Man, why?
He's
writing songs for everybody.
But if they write a bad song about you, it goes forever.
Yeah,
goes forever. I'll tear you up.
Like an old rap battle.
Man, it doesn't matter.
Hey, so I know for sure in the other song, the obsessive little bitch boy and the guy with the athletic thighs, those are real people. You don't just make that stuff up.
I make stuff up.
No, but you didn't make that up.
I'm a writer.
You don't make up athletic thighs when talking about another man.
No, he was a competition bike rider.
Yes. Do they know that, Sam?
I didn't know he had athletic thighs. I just
you heard about it, right?
Since he goes with the job.
40 miles on a bike.
Does he know that's him? Can he figure it out?
I don't know. The obsessive little rich boy knows that's
him. He knows it's him?
He knows who that is. That guy.
Do we know who he is?
Yeah, that really kind of killed him, because, you know, that guy was this guy in Portland who, like, my wife, girlfriend had been having an affair with this guy before we moved there. And I asked her after I met this guy, because I got that vibe. You know the vibe. Girls know that vibe well. It's like, you slept with that girl. No, baby.
Oh,
no,
they smell it. Yeah, they smell it.
They know. And I knew. And she never copped to it. And later, when we got big in Portland, this guy was just like the big hater, him and his friends. They got this I forget, it was a police report about an assault. I got into a fight, sent it in to Spin magazine, and the guy from Spin was talking about it with my girlfriend / wife, was the wife at the time, and I can't say this on the air, right?
Just but don't say F word. Just don't say the F word.
Okay, well, that's the word. Yeah, but anyway, but I can dumb it down for you guys.
Yeah.
But basically, he's like, so, you know, like the guy says this big, long, proselytizing sentence in Spin magazine, and then the guy goes to my wife, who shakes her head and just goes, man, I wish I had never slept with her.
Oh, she finally
But she didn't
it
say
out.
Slept.
Yeah.
And that put his thing in the dirt.
Yeah. Well, good. And he has to hear that every time it comes on the radio. And
yes, he does.
That's him. Good. I like that.
You're going to get haters when you're successful.
Yeah.
People are not going to like it. Not everyone's going to like drink the Kool-Aid. And that's just part of the deal.
No, but if you have an art, you might end up in a song, and that's good to know.
You will end up in one of my songs.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think we ended up cool, so I'm going to end it here.